The worse things get, the closer you are to whatever God is planning to do.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's why the Bible tells us to hang in there and grow our knowledge of God, even when we feel like giving up.
The temptation when you're persevering is to quit and say, I don't want the God thing anymore.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says that the knowledge of God isn't a set of facts that we learn. It's something that grows within us through experience. Let's join him in the book of 2 Peter as he explains.
Peter is writing to Christians. He says in the middle of verse 1, to those who have received the faith the same kind as ours. So these are born-again Christian people he's writing to. He's not concerned with winning the lost right now. He's concerned about getting the saved into an experiential knowledge of God. Notice what he says at the end of verse 2. He wants you to have the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 3. Through the true knowledge of him who called us. Notice what he says at the end of verse 8. In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter's not first concerned with how many Bible verses you can quote, how many Bible studies you've been in. He's not concerned about how many times you use Jesus' name throughout the week. He's not concerned about how many references to God you make in the course of your life. He's concerned that you have an epigenosis, an authentic experience of the knowledge of God. He starts out with an exciting phrase. I am excited about this phrase because we read it and we skip it usually because we think it's like an introduction before the real message. But he says in verse 1, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So please notice, he calls Jesus Christ both God and Savior. Jesus Christ is not just Savior. Jesus is also God. Jesus is God with skin on. God wanted to become a man so that he could relate to men. So God put skin on in the person of the second member of the Trinity, the second member of the Godhead, Jesus the Christ. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Even before I get into this message, I'm excited because I want to talk about multiplication. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. In other words, if you want more grace and you want more peace, you got to have a multiplication in the knowledge of God. In other words, no knowledge of God, less grace, less peace. Grace is all that God is free to do for us because of what Jesus Christ has done. It is his unmerited favor. If you want more favor, you have to have a greater knowledge of God. Peace is the ability to be calm no matter how chaotic things are going on around you. If you want more calm in the midst of the storm of life to be multiplied to you, you must expand your experiential knowledge of God. You see, 5 + 5 will grant you 10, but 5 × 5 will grant you 25. 10 + 10 will grant you 20. 10 × 10 will grant you 100. So if you're satisfied with a little addition of God, that's one thing. Peter wants you with a little multiplication of God. That's a whole different level because that's times. He says, I want grace to be multiplied, not just added. I want peace to be multiplied, not just added. And he certainly doesn't want grace and peace to be subtracted. He wants grace and peace to be multiplied, that is abundantly supplied. How is this going to happen? Watch this now. He says in verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the epigenosis, the authentic knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Guess what? Everything you need to become all you were meant to be, you already have. Some of us are looking for stuff we already own. Some of us are looking for life and you already have it. Some of us are looking to be more Christian and you already have it. Some of us are looking to be more like God, and you already have it. Because my Bible says, and I think your Bible says the same thing, everything pertaining to life and godliness has been granted to us by his divine power. So what then is this salvation, and where can I find all this stuff, Tony Evans, that you're telling me I already have? Because if I already have it, I sure wish you'd help me find it, because I can't locate it, even though you told me I already have it. Well, let me tell you where it's located. He tells you in verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Guess what he says? He says that where the location for the everything he has granted, for all he intends you to be, is located in what he calls in verse 4, the divine nature. It's located in the divine nature. Your nature is your essential disposition. Your nature is your core being. Your nature is your total essence. But the problem is, we were born with spiritually dead spirits, unable to make contact with God. What God did was, he quickened your human spirit by an intrusion by the Holy Spirit, and it's called being born again, or receiving the nature of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. So what God did was, he gave you a new spirit. When God's spirit entered your spirit, you got a new nature, but in seed form. In other words, it wasn't fully grown. It was in seed form. And the only way you come to discover a brand new life that has been conceived is when there is development. If the seed doesn't develop, it's not because it's not alive, it's because it's not growing any. So the reason we're not experiencing more of the DNA of God is we're satisfied to remain in seed form. You got this little seed, you plant it in the ground, corn, and you come up with a stalk with all these ears on it. How did that little seed have 10 ears of corn on a stalk? Could you open that thing up and see them ears? No. But when planted in the right soil, what you have, well, here's what you have in the seed. He calls it the seed. You have all your potential. All your potential is in the seed. So if God has now invaded the seed of your spirit, what do you think your potential is? What do you think my potential is? Now, we may not be living up to that potential, but it's not because it's not there. It's in the seed. But the seed has to develop. And he says, when it develops, you escape the corruption. You escape the corruption. The DNA of God overrides the deterioration and entropy of the world, because you have in you, on you, the divine blueprint. So that narrates the next question now, doesn't it? Okay, how do I get this seed cooking? How do I get this seed working? Because I'm tired. I've been saved 10 years and 20 years. And how I get this seed working so that the new nature begins to dominate? Watch this now. For this very reason also, apply all diligence. All right? Diligence means zeal. In other words, what Peter is getting ready to tell you, take seriously. In your faith, that is, with your salvation, he says you have a common faith, you're already saved, because he's talking to born-again believers. In your faith, here it is, supply. The seed has the whole stalk of corn and its possibilities in it. But if you don't supply the soil, then the seed has no place to express its potential. The supply he's talking about is not adding on to what God has done. The supply he's talking about is creating an environment so that all that he's done can flourish. So here's what you do. He says, supply, first of all, number one, moral excellence. Moral excellence. Some versions translate, the word can be translated, virtue. Virtue. Now, the question is, what does that mean? Moral excellence or virtue meant giving something what it needs to fulfill what it was designed to do. The question is, what is this thing you must add? What is this thing that he's telling us to add that's what I'm designed for? Just flip over one page to chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Here it is. You were made in your divine nature to bring glory to God. That's your DNA and divine design. So if you want the seed in your spirit to expand, you must add to your salvation the goal of glorifying God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So you must now live with the consciousness of glorifying God, which now adds virtue to your salvation. You must ask, how will this make God look? How will this expand how God is viewed? How will this make God look bigger and better? How will this put God on advertisement? When you become conscious, functionally conscious of the purpose of spiritual growth or your salvation, which is to bring glory to God, what you just added to your faith is moral excellence. Then he says, add to your moral excellence or virtue, knowledge. Faith is not blind. It must be informed. To put it another way, you cannot grow beyond what you know. You cannot grow beyond what you know. In other words, when you see how you should glorify God, God wants you to add to that glorifying of him, the virtue, more information. Because if I add more information to my glorifying him, what did I just add? The ability to glorify him more. That's why people go on for a master's degree. They want to master a subject. They don't just want to have the general information. They want to have the specific targeted information in a given field. He says God wants you to become a master Christian. He doesn't just want you to be a high school graduate Christian. He doesn't even want you to just be a BA born again Christian. He wants you to become a master degree saint where you have now mastered. Why? Because when you go for a master degree, you have to accumulate more information. Because now the seed is expanding in the soul. He says, don't stop there. Add to your knowledge self-control. Self-control means holding on to oneself. It was used regularly of athletes who had to discipline themselves in order to maximize their skill in a certain performance. Add whatever you need to stay focused on your goal. Whatever you need to not lose focus. Why? Because that's what the enemy wants to do to us. He wants to shake our focus, to erode our discipline so we jump off the track, so we get off the wagon, so that we lose our focus. And he knows that that's what the enemy wants to do. So whatever you have to add is self-control so that you keep getting the knowledge, so that you keep expanding the virtue, piggybacking on your faith. So you may need accountability to stay on task. He goes on and add to your self-control, he says, perseverance. That means in everyday language, hang in there. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. And perseverance is almost always related in the Bible to trials.
How can we persevere when those trials seem too tough to take? Well, Dr. Evans will share a secret about that when he continues our message in just a moment.
To truly know God means an authentic connection, not just knowing about Him. It's a relationship completely fused by love, and it's the kind of relationship with God Dr. Tony Evans explores in his latest book, DVD, and Bible study, Knowing God. Discover a connection with God you've never known before. Live that kind of relationship with God and experience life in all of its true fullness. Discover more at TonyEvans.org. TonyEvans.org.
And if you visit right away and support Tony's ministry with a generous contribution, we'll say thanks by sending you the Power of Knowing God book, along with the companion study guide and resource DVD. And as a limited-time bonus, we'll also send you all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current series, Knowing God, on CD and digital download. This offer will only be around for a few more days, so don't miss out. Visit TonyEvans.org today to make your contribution and request. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our friendly resource team members is standing by to assist you. I'll have all that contact information for you once again after part 2 of today's message, and this.
Did you know Dr. Evans' study Bible and commentary are on Kindle? Here's a recent review from a Kindle user. I am so looking forward to exploring this as my daily devotion. My daughter came in while I was glancing through it and asked me to order her one. She was as impressed as I am with it. I'm a class leader at church, and this should help me in my studies. Get a copy of Dr. Tony Evans' study Bible and commentary today.
Here's a little secret. The worse things get, the closer you are. That's my little secret. The reason he doesn't want you to throw in the towel yet is because the worse things get, the closer you are to whatever God is planning to do. The worse things get, the reason he says don't throw in the towel is because the closer you are. He says, persevere, and to your perseverance, add godliness. Because the temptation when you're persevering is to quit and say, I don't want the God thing anymore. To bail out on God. Hang on to living for God, even though you don't see anything happening. Okay, watch this now, watch this. He comes to the next one. Brotherly kindness, the Greek word there is Philadelphia. Here it is. Find a brother or sister who's going through something similar to you and minister to them. Brotherly kindness meant to selflessly reach out to another member of the family of God and pour into them. I know what you're saying. I need somebody to pour into me. If you need healing, to whatever degree you can, minister to somebody else who needs healing. If you're battling depression, as tough as it may be, and as best as you can, minister to somebody else who's depressed. If you're going through marital struggles, and I know it's tough, minister to somebody else who has marital struggles. Whatever you are needing, give. Brotherly kindness. Kindness to another member of the family of God. Then he says, on top of that, the last one, add to that love. Add to that love. Well, wait a minute. Didn't I just show love with a did brotherly kindness? Mm-mm. Brotherly kindness is to a brother. That's to somebody who's on your side, on your team. That's somebody you don't mind talking to, dealing with. Because they're a brother or a sister, and they're going through what you're going through. So you can relate. This is somebody you can relate to. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When he talks about love, he's talking about folk you aren't particular about. Folk you would naturally gravitate to. Folk you may go in the other direction from. This has to do with ministering to the irregular people in your life. Let's talk about ministering to somebody who I don't know that I want to talk to her. I don't like her. God demonstrated his love in that while we were sinners against him, Christ died. What's going to happen? He says this is going to happen. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are, here it is, growth, increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful, here it is, in the true, epigenosis, in the true knowledge, the authentic knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says you're going to become fruity. And we're not talking about crazy. We're talking about fruit producing. God has a lot of Christians with no fruit. They're still Christians, but nothing is coming out of their lives that God can use. Why would God bless somebody that's unfruitful? What happens if you don't do this addition? You just say, I'm saved, as I'm enough. Verse 9 in closing. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and myopic. That's the Greek word for where we get our English word myopic, short, nearsighted. Having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Wow. Any mother who's only thinking about 9 months is thinking short term. You got to be thinking 18 years. 9 months is your introduction. That's what 9 months is. 9 months is beginning the process. That's short term to think 9 months. That's 18 years. You got to plan on it. He says, for those who lack these qualities, you're not thinking, you don't have the big picture. You're just living day by day. You're missing the big picture. The person who says, I only want to go through the 9th grade and that's it. They think in short term. That may be good now that you're in the 5th grade, but when you're out there trying to get a job, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. He says, no, think of the bigger picture, both of time and eternity. You will become fruitful. Life will become meaningful. He says, and the root problem in closing, here he says the root problem is, the person who won't develop these qualities on the spiritual growth level has forgotten his purification from his former sins. You forgot Calvary. You forgot the cross. And whenever we forget the cross, we're in trouble. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. When you forget the cross, when that just becomes something that happened 2,000 years ago, he says you're in trouble because now you won't see the need. 2,000 years ago, Jesus picked up the tab. He paid it in full. He doesn't want you to forget the price he paid at Calvary for our sins and become slothful in adding what he's provided for our new nature, because the price was too high that he paid for you to forget the expensive cost of the payment for our sins.
A reminder of what Jesus did so that even in our imperfection, we can truly know the perfect God. Here's Dr. Evans once again with a vitally important message for you.
If you're not absolutely sure that you have received salvation, that you're on your way to heaven, then let's get that straight right now. God offers you salvation as a free gift because of the sacrifice of his Son. And if you will come to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your need for a Savior because you recognize you're a sinner, recognizing you can't save yourself, and appealing to Jesus to apply his death into your life, he will come in, forgive your sins, and give you eternal life right now. Simply say to the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I'm believing in you alone to be my Savior. So I now accept your offer to give me eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And then thank him for the free salvation he just gave you.
To learn more about what it means to be a real Christian, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony will walk you through everything you need to know. And while you're there, don't forget to request that powerful package of resources I told you about earlier. It includes all 8 messages from Tony's current series, Knowing God, as well as his just-released book, The Power of Knowing God. And we'll even include the interactive study guide and resource DVD containing custom material that Dr. Evans recorded specifically for this study. They're all yours when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. So be sure to drop by TonyEvans.org right away to make the arrangements before this limited-time offer runs out. That's TonyEvans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by around the clock to help you. Pieces of firewood burn much hotter when they burn together. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain that believers who want to be on fire for the Lord work the same way, as he talks about the relationship between our connection with other people and our connection to Christ. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.